This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am delighted to be with you today. I certainly am. I always look forward to being with you Monday through Friday, right here on EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many good affiliates out there, Sirius XM Station 130, in addition to that, various other platforms. You can go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can actually watch us there, and if you are out there today, you see that I am in studio. Yes, I am, right here on the campus of EWTN. Always looking forward to having an opportunity to talk with you about your life of faith, about all of the good things that go on every day in relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's Friday, and we have been doing Glory to God Days on Friday. I just so much love that. We talk about our biggest blessing, the biggest blessing that we've received this week. So I invite you to call us with your big blessing of the week and share it with us. It edifies us. It builds us up. It gives us hope. It helps us to understand and see that God is with us all of the time, and He is always working for our benefit and always working for our eternal salvation. He can't do anything but that. He cannot, because God is all goodness, and He's always working everything to the good. Even the situations and circumstances that are so difficult in our lives, God is in the midst of them, and He will work it for a good that would have been, could never have happened had it not been for the reversal or the contradiction or the suffering or the sorrow that we're experiencing in the moment. So we want you to share with us, what is your big blessing of the week? How do you do that? Well, we've got a toll-free number for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. 3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. So pick up the phone, give us a call. Matthew Gubensky is our call screener. He is waiting for you there. So let's keep those phone lines going. I know it's a holiday weekend. Lots of you are packing up, getting out of town, going somewhere. Big plans happening. But all of that being said, you can pick up the phone and give us a call. Again, toll free for you here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also available for you, as I mentioned out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, simply go on out there, put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, but your big blessing of the week, especially on today, Friday, right there in the chat feature. Jeff Burson, our social media manager, our producer, will go out there and he'll retrieve it and get it up on the board. I want to tell you about some of the things happening at Women of Grace. You know, I'm very excited. This is a great time of the year for us at Women of Grace, because all kinds of new study groups begin. And we're always excited for women to come into a deeper understanding and appreciation of who they are as the daughters of the Most High God. And that is what our foundational study is about. It's very formative. I think that it helps to correct a lot of misconceptions. And the other thing that it does is it brings a lot of healing. It certainly brings a lot of healing. It's one of the beautiful, beautiful byproducts of coming together in this type of sacred sisterhood with other women. So I invite you to see if there is a Women of Grace study going on in your area. You can always call us at the ministry. We can help you to find one. 800-558-5452. That's our toll-free number at Women of Grace, 800-558-5452. You can also email us. And the email address is very simple. It's info@womenofgrace.com. We're not always aware of every single study group that's going on. So let me just issue an invitation to you. If you are leading a Women of Grace study group, do let us know at Women of Grace, and we can refer people to you in your area. Obviously, if you've started it already, that's fine. It's in process. But we can also make people aware of the fact that you're there. maybe bring you together so that if you do it again, they can join. If you have one that's coming up, though, we can certainly be an instrument that you can use to bring women to that study. So we do invite you to do that. I know I met a beautiful woman. This was so exciting at the family celebration. She and her husband have traveled to many different countries because he has been in the military. And she was taking the Women of Grace study to various military installations throughout the world. She was telling me about all of this, and she's led many studies. And, you know, boy, I was so happy to meet her, and I encouraged her, let us know about you. We're not always aware of everyone who is doing a study, but we want to be. So if you've led a study, if you want to lead a study, obviously get in touch with us at Women of Grace. We'll help you to get set up, and we will certainly be at your side as you facilitate for the first time. So you're never alone. We have regional coordinators in a lot of different areas in the United States. They will be of service to you. If there's not a regional in your area, we at Women of Grace Central will be of help and assistance to you. You know, we've got a mighty mission and a mighty goal at Women of Grace, and it's to transform the world one woman at a time. That was an audacious goal. When the Lord first put Women of Grace on my heart 20 years ago, you know, I he was showing me this image of a funnel, and you know, it's what I got. It was a funnel, and he was showing me that, you know, the bowl of the funnel was going to be ways of gathering women together. We do that through retreats, we do that through conferences, gathering them together. The neck of the funnel was going to be a curriculum that would help women to understand the dignity that is theirs by way of their gift of authentic femininity. It would inform them of who they are. And then they would spill out in the world from the bottom of that funnel, the opening at the bottom of that neck, they would spill out into the world, and they would transform it one woman at a time. That was such a mighty vision that the Lord entrusted to me. But here I am 20 years later, and I see this beautiful ministry that's grown up. I have seen how it has crossed country borders and gone into many different places. I've given you an illustration of one such in sharing with you today. But we've seen it in all kinds of different ways growing up. I am so honored, so humbled to see what God is doing. And we're watching it happen. We're watching it happen one woman at a time. So we want you to join us in this mission. As I say, we've got lots of information there for you on our website about how it is that you can join us in this mission. You can join us through our book studies. You can join us through a foundational study. We have mornings of grace. We have women, afternoons of grace, evenings of grace that take place in various locales. In addition to that, we offer our studies online. If there's not one going on in your area, we've got some of those that are starting this fall. I was telling you about them. And we have begun to really move forward in a dynamic way with our young women of grace, trying to get to younger women. The culture is trying to confuse them, working hard to confuse them, telling them that gender is not immutable, telling them that they can be anything they want to be, that they can do this, do that, take hormones, become this, become that. No, God has such a beautiful gift for his daughters, and it comes by way of their authentic femininity. It comes by way of their gender, and the evil one hates it, and he's trying to stamp it out. And I think God raised this ministry up 20 years ago for such a time as this. So we want you to join us. We can do it. We can do it, daughters of God. We can do it, and I want to do it with you. So find out more at our website, womenofgrace.com. See what is going on. When we come back, I want to hear from you. It is indeed Friday. That means it's a glory to God day. What was your biggest blessing this week? I want to know all about it, and so does everybody else. So call us at 833-288-EWTN. We're coming right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, delighted to be with you today. Always looking forward to hearing from you. Today is what we call our Glory to God Day, and I'm looking forward to hearing what your greatest blessing of the week has been. And I love for us to cast that retrospective gaze backwards to see how has God shown up in my life this week. What was my biggest surprise moment with the Lord? My biggest biggest aha moment, maybe? What way did I see the Lord presenting himself to me through somebody else? What circumstance or situation was I blessed with this week that showed me that God is with me? How did I find him with me in the midst of a travail or a suffering or a reversal or a setback? These are all of the ways in which God makes his presence known to us. I mean, there's many other ways as well. Did you read something in sacred scripture that just kind of popped off the page at you? What about some spiritual reading that you were doing where you had a new insight, gained a new perspective about whatever the topic was that you were pursuing by reading that book? How was God with you? So I'm inviting you to give us a call and let us know. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here. In addition to that, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, your big blessing of the week. And our producer, social media manager, Mr. Jeff Burson, lovely person, will rush out there, retrieve it, get it up on the board. Matthew Gubensky is on the phones today. Be sure to say hello to him when you call in. And if you're a first-time caller and or first-time submitter, let us know and we will ring our virtual bell for you. I'm in studio here. And there it is. There it is. I am in studio here at EWTN on campus today. So I don't have my little bell. And I have three of them that sit on my desk. And I keep telling Jeff, I'm going to bring one in, leave one here in studio. And I never remember. It's always because I'm in a flurry when I'm leaving the house so I can get here on time. We'll take any questions that you have today, though. And we do have Agostino with us in Middlefield, Ohio this morning. We are happy to have Agostino with us via YouTube. So good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. I have a question that it will get me even better.
So oh, good, good, good. I've got, I'm hoping I have an answer for you.
All right. Yeah, the question is about eternal life, you know. Again, I'm almost 70 years old, and most of my life I have thought that eternal life begins after dying. But for the past year, I will say, you know, it's an opening of eyes and like a different understanding of it in the sense of, well, you know, when Jesus comes to Lazarus when he's dead, Martha tells him, if you have been here, he will not have. Well, no, I'm the resurrection. Well, no, I know that. No, he will rise, you know. And she said, I know that he will rise, but he will not have died. I guess with all of this, I'm trying to say is the new understanding is that eternal life begins here. Jesus Christ is eternal life. He brought to us eternal life, you know. And that if My realization is, I mean, it's like an urgency, a joyful urgency to say, you know, if he brings that eternal life to us now, and if we don't begin it now, there is a risk that we might never begin it, you know? I mean, it's like we don't need to wait until we die to start living eternal life. We have it available now.
Well, Agostino, I'm smiling. People out there on YouTube and Facebook can see I'm smiling because you're speaking truth. And this is it. This is it. Everything that you've said is absolutely true. And when does eternal life begin for us? Eternal life begins for us at the moment of our baptism. And as long as we remain in a state of grace, we are experiencing eternal life because we are participating in the divine life itself. That's what grace is. Grace is a participation in the divine life. So we are experiencing God. Now we will experience the fullness of him when we reach, that moment of being with him for all eternity, hopefully in heaven. We'll be in eternal life, even if we have to spend some time in purgatory, because we will have died in the state of grace, but we would not have died without the stain or the residual effect, perhaps, or the wounds of the heart. part, we will still have some of those things to work out, the stain of sin or the residual effect of sin or some of those wounds of the heart that have been leveled against us. But that's why Jesus says in Sacred Scripture, the kingdom of God is here, right? The kingdom of God is already with you because he is the kingdom of God. And when we are in a state of grace, when we're in relationship with him, we are experiencing eternal life already. The fact that we can receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, we have the fullness of God within us at that time. So yes, you're absolutely right. So eternal life does not begin with death. Eternal life begins in the here and now when we are in a state of grace, when we have been baptized in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
It's like, this is our faith. And it's like, somehow, you know, most of my life I have missed this. Although, I don't know how to put it. Intellectually, I have heard this. I know this, you know. But trying to enter into my heart to become life is a new thing. And I'm excited because it's like, my God, I mean, it's every day. It's a chance to walk, to begin, you know, like a newborn, like a new conceived baby in the womb.
Yes.
The life begins there.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, after that, she's going to have to die to that kind of life in the uterus, you know? But his life is not going to begin when he's born. I mean, his life already began.
That's right. Well, that's a beautiful analogy, Agostino, and I am excited for you. I am so delighted for you. I mean, this is a big blessing. This is a huge blessing. When what we know intellectually enters into the heart and we experience it, right? That knowledge becomes experiential. It becomes a dynamic. It becomes something that sets us on fire. It becomes something that gives us a thirst and a hunger for more of God and more of God and more of God. And that is truly what the spiritual life is about. When we talk about developing our spiritual life, etc., that's what it is. It's this union with God that takes place within the inner confines of our being that makes everything brand new, as you're speaking about. Everything becomes alive. Everything takes on a different hue. Everything speaks to the glory and the honor of God, and it fills us with all of those fruits of the Holy Spirit, with joy, with peace, with understanding. It gives us zeal, right? We begin to operate and think of things in a different way. That's the gift of wisdom, right? So all of these beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit begin to be realized within us, and it makes us glad. It makes us glad. And then even in the midst of the trials of life, we find that God is with us, and we see it there. We begin to realize that we're not alone, no matter what the situation or the circumstances. We know that God is there and he's going to work a great good out of it. And we can always rely on him and trust in him. So this is beautiful. And it never comes too late and it never comes too early. It comes in the fullness of time for each one of us. And obviously for you, Agostino, this is the fullness of time. And so I'm delighting today for you. I'm doing a little happy dance sitting here in my chair in the studio. So I am grateful to God for you. God bless you. Bye-bye now. That was a beautiful way to begin our Glory to God Day right here with Agostino, revealing to us a great truth that God has shown to him. Ethan out there on YouTube says, glory to God. Family members have put me into a big mess and I approached someone to help me and they immediately stepped in to help me move forward. It has, that's in capital letters, it has got to be God's abundance. God's abundant grace. And Ethan, yes, indeed. So, you know, God can take these circumstances like Ethan is experiencing and make it a moment like Agostino experienced. Make it a moment that lets us know that eternal life is here, that God is here, that God truly is dwelling among us, that Emmanuel is present. God with us is truly present. Those are not just words written on a page in sacred scripture, but it is true. It's true. It's revealing a great fact. And when we discover that, and I think sometimes even in the midst of these these trials, maybe most particularly in the midst of such trials, we can give great praise and thanksgiving to God, because we see that in the midst of all things, He is there for us. It's a real trust enhancer and faith producer. I kind of like that. A trust enhancer and a faith producer. So we're looking to hear from you today. What is your glory to God moment this week? How is it that you can share with us the way in which God has entered into your life in a new way, a dynamic new way, or blessed you beyond what you thought you could be blessed with, or gave you insight? You know, these are all the beautiful ways in which God works in our life. For me, what was my greatest grace this week? Well, I've had numbers of them. I'm always looking to see how is God blessing me today, you know? So I've got numbers of them. One of them came by way of the work that I put in for the Journeys with Jesus segment that I produced in studio yesterday. And we have been talking about the 10 principal virtues of Our Lady. And yesterday I was working on one of those beautiful 10 principal virtues, which was her universal mortification. And I was really struggling with that one. You know, some of these are more difficult to do than others. I was thinking to myself, this one is really hard for you to do, Jeanette, because you have to get better at self-mortification. That's why it was hard, I think. But, you know, the Lord was opening my eyes as I was sitting there and working on that. And, I was doing a lot of research on it. And as I was doing research, I was gaining greater insight into the efficacy of mortification, both the mortification that we voluntarily engage in, penances, as well as those mortifications that come to us passively, the ones that come to us by way of God's will of good pleasure. And so it caused me to be doing some thinking about those things. And I was blessed in that process, blessed even as I was working it out on those pages. And the opportunity to deliver that yesterday was a great blessing. You're going to be able to watch that in upcoming weeks. Every Friday, so today at 1 p.m., we will be finishing up a discussion on one of Mary's 10 principal virtues, that one being blind obedience. So we finish that up today. So you might want to tune in at 1 p.m. All of those programs are archived for you out there at our website. So you can go out to womenofgrace.com and you can watch them there. But I invite you to watch them in real time if you can, or set your DVR and watch them. The program every day, Monday through Friday, I think is rather unique. I was also blessed yesterday because I had the opportunity to interview two beautiful women of God. One of them I know that you're familiar with because she has written numbers of books and you've seen her on EWTN. That was Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. She was telling us about a new book that she's written on 30 visits with Mary, and they're on ways to spend Eucharistic time, a time before the Blessed Sacrament with our Blessed Mother. Very beautiful book. It's available for you at EWTNRC.com. And I interviewed Johnny Scythe. And Johnny Scythe is a woman that has a debilitating genetic disorder called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And she has she's a convert from Judaism to the Catholic faith. And golly, that was such an amazing time that I spent with her. It was a time that just really, what do I want to say? Made me rejoice in the Lord for the gift of faith that He gives to individuals who carry big crosses. And I was so edified by her story and so built up by it. And they're going to be airing sometime later this month, today being the first day of September. And, I was really moved and really touched by her joy. You know, when you see someone that is wheelchair bound for the most part, when you see someone whose body wants to disconnect from itself inside of you, you know, she literally basically falls apart on the inside. When you see someone who nonetheless has such joy in the Lord, radiates it, you can't help but be blessed by it. Really beautiful, amazing things. So what is your glory to God moment this week? We want to know. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. 3986. We're here for you today. We want to know how God has blessed you this week. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use that chat feature as Ethan did. Ethan had a big, beautiful gift from God this week when someone helped him to move forward in the midst of a big mess going on in his family, and we thank and praise God for that. We have Gil with us. We love Gil. Gil is out there in Queens, New York today.
Amen.
And hey, how are you, Gil?
Fine, thank you. Hanging in there.
Good.
I love your husband, Jack. I spoke to him not too long ago.
Oh, I'm glad.
I love him so much. He has such a beautiful voice. I love it.
Yes, I love it too, and I love him. I love the voice, and I love the man
choice.
That the voice belongs to.
Praise the Lord. 5 years,
yes.
Have no fear. I wanted to mention some scriptures on marriage. One of them is Genesis 2:18, where it says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper.'" And then Genesis 2:24 talks about, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." And then a couple of more is John 10:10, where Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly." And then Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." The reason why I bring this up, I was reading a book called Marriage is Like Dancing, and I love what the person said, that a husband and wife who pray together stay together. And one of Nancy's favorite verses in all the Bible was Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church."
Well, you know what? Those are all beautiful passages, and I am thinking about those passages in a rather unique way. You know, they all refer to marriage in one way or another. You know, the abundant life is what we're meant to experience in the vocation that God has entrusted to us, right? And that, you know, for the married couple is coming by way of their union together as husband and wife. And I'm thinking about the kingdom of God being made apparent. And of course, again, our vocation is meant for us to be that path that leads us into ever deepening relationship with our Lord, and that relationship is His kingdom. Just as we were talking about with Agostino, it is eternal life, and what we taste of eternal life in this life is but a foretaste of the glory that we will know at one point in time. But I was also thinking about it in a unique way, Gil. I was thinking about it in reference to the priesthood. So when we come back from the break, let's talk a little bit about that. I invite you to stay on the line there, Gil. I'm inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Glory to God Day here.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I sure am. Encouraging you to give us a call. It's Friday, and we're making this a Glory to God Day. We want to know, how has God blessed you this week? Sometimes it comes in big, magnificent moments, and sometimes it comes very subtly. You know, I'm thinking of that passage in Scripture where it says, you know, God didn't speak in the thunder, right? How did He speak? He spoke in the whisper. He spoke in a still, small voice. God's been blessing you all week long, my friend. He certainly has. Let's open our eyes and see those blessings. Let's share about them today right here on Women of Grace Live. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, encouraging you to use the chat feature to put in your Glory to God moment this week. We'll take your calls or your messages to us on any topic, however, so just feel free to call us. Matt Gubensky on the phones, again, toll-free in the North America, 833-288-EWTN. And also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Jeff Burson is the one who retrieves your questions and gets them up on the board. He's also our producer. Gil on the phone, he was quoting to us some beautiful passages from sacred scripture that have to do with marriage. And I told Gil right before we went to the break there that, you know, it's interesting, but as he was reading those passages to me, I was thinking about the priest, especially priesthood, especially the first one, Gil, because you quoted from Genesis, it is not good for the man to be alone. Let us make a helpmate for him. And that, you know, and when Adam took a look at Eve, you know, this passage goes on and says, for this reason, a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And I was thinking about a moment in my own life where a priest said to me, he was asking me, what advice would I give to a priest? And I thought that that was a pretty amazing thing, you know, that a priest would ask me such a question. And so I looked at him and I said, Father, well, you know, here's the deal. Every man needs a good woman. And his eyes got very big and very wide. And he looked at me and I said, and for the priest, that woman is the bride of Christ. That woman is the church. And who is the archetype of the church? Our Blessed Mother. And so what I was telling this good priest was that, you know, every man needs a wife and every man needs a woman. And for the priest, he marries the church. He marries the church. And so, you know, it is not good for a man to be alone, right? He clings to his church. He clings to his bride as Christ clings to his bride, who is the church. And he sacrifices his life for her. That beautiful passage that you quoted also, too, from Ephesians, you know, that was Nancy's favorite passage, Gil, the one that talks about, you know, a husband cherishes his wife as Christ cherishes or loves the church, right? Sacrifices for her. Those are beautiful, beautiful passages. Would that people would understand those passages or at least meditate on them before they present themselves to the Lord in holy matrimony, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I thank you for your call. I love all of those verses. They're beautiful, Gil.
Yeah. Yeah, I memorize most of those scriptures, actually doing by memory. I just love those scriptures so much. And another one that came to mind when you mentioned the priest and the church and all of that stuff, another verse I shared with Nancy was Proverbs 31:12, where it says, she brings him good and not harm all the days of her life.
Mm-hmm.
My Nancy was so good to me, man. Oh, my God.
I know.
Praise the Lord.
And you miss her so. But what a gift, right? What a gift.
Yeah.
You know, and to have known that kind of love, Gil, is very, very special. And even now, I'm sure that it warms your heart.
Thinking about her, talking about her makes me very happy still.
Well, we're always happy when you call in and when you remember your Nancy with us.
Yes. And like I said, I was reading in the book, Marriage is Like Dancing. It says a wife and a husband that pray together stay together. I think it was a Catholic priest that says that a family that prays together stays together.
Father Pat Payton.
Am I right?
Yes,
yeah,
Father Pat
right.
Payton, and his cause for canonization has been opened. So it's lovely to hear that quoted in other places. It's I can remember as a girl that would be on the bulletin, you know, the big bulletin boards that would flank the highways at that time. Well, they're still up there. They don't give those messages anymore, unfortunately. But we have need to keep that in mind. So
I send your husband and you a big electronic sheep hug. So happy sheep day.
Well, happy sheep day to you too, Gil. Thanks for your call as always. And we look forward to hearing from you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have Anna Marie. She says thousands of blessings every single day. Are you kidding me? Do you have shelter, hot water, food, transportation, a doctor, insurance, cross the street safely, make it to work? It's all from God. I love it, Anna Marie. You know, because we fail to see God in these most mundane of circumstances of life. But they're not mundane at all if we considered what life would be like without them, right? So we thank you for seeing God in everything. And we thank you so, so very much that you contacted us today. And here we have have Amy. She is there with us on Facebook, and she says, Jeanette, I am concerned for my son. He is dating and looking at marriage at a woman who is twice his age. He is 26. Am I overthinking this? What can I do? Well, Amy, you know, this is an interesting question. You know, differences in age is never a big issue, I think. This is quite a difference in age. He's got to be quite well aware of the fact that since this woman is so much older than he, that their marriage is going to be categorically different than if he was marrying a younger woman. If she is 50, she would be 52 years old. He would have to be willing to think of the fact that he is likely never to be able to father a child. This is a very big consideration. He also has to consider the fact that in the not too terribly distant future, when he is still a relatively young man, he will be caring for a woman. But then I think about the reality of what love is. You know, love is really a participation in the one love. And the one love is the Trinitarian life. What we experience of that in this life, if it's true love, is an experience of God with us. And there is no age in God. You know, there is no age in God. So in that sense, is it possible to deeply love someone who is much older than we? Yes, that is absolutely possible. Does that necessarily mean that that love moves to marriage? Well, we have to examine that in a different way, and we have to examine that by looking very carefully at the emotions and the feelings that we have. The other question I would want to know is, what is in this woman's mind and what is in this woman's heart, and you know, what is she thinking? And hopefully, you know, you can tease this out. She's probably more in your age group. She's probably more your equal than she is your son's. And so maybe that has to be teased out. It's a difficult situation. I certainly would pray about this. I would, you know, offer sacrifice for this. You want your son to make a good decision. In the end, it's going to be his decision. So how you find your way through that, I think, can only come through prayer and the guidance that comes by way of the Holy Spirit. I would talk to your priest about it as well. And you might recommend that they talk with a priest too. So that's my insights on it, Amy, and I hope that helps you to some extent. We're going to go to Susie. Susie is with us by phone today, inviting you to call us 2-833-288-EWTN, toll-free number for you right there in North America, 833-288-3986. Susie is listening via Station of the Cross there in Boston, Mass. Hey, Susie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, sweetheart. How are you?
I've had better days.
Okay. So let's talk for a moment. What's happening?
I'm actually just walking into my house coming from my doctor's appointment, a fertility doctor that I've been seeing. And he's basically just confirmed a lot of low numbers for chances of me to have a child. Because I'm going to be 46 this month, in a few weeks. And he's basically saying I have slim to none chance of having my own biological child. Mm-hmm. And I'm struggling with it because I don't want to focus on the numbers. And the data, I just want to continue in my faith, but I feel like I'm losing faith in what is possible.
Yes. Oh, sweetheart, I am so sorry. I am so, so very sorry that this is the situation that has been presented to you today. Why don't we just say a prayer together and then we can talk some more, but let's just come before the Lord in this moment, because you know, Susie, our God is the God of the impossible. Our God can do all things. Our God always brings us comfort and solace in the midst of sorrow and sadness of heart. He's always blessing us in abundant ways. And sometimes those blessings are not coming to us in the way in which we want them to come. Or we begin to lose heart that there is blessing in the midst of all things. So let's just come together in His name in this moment. And all of you listening today, you know, please join us. Please just come together in mind and spirit as we lift Susie up before the throne of God. And so it is, Father, that we come to You in this moment, and we do present to You Your daughter, Susie. She's so beautiful, Lord. She's Your daughter. Oh, my goodness, You've created her so marvelously. Everything about her, Lord, shows Your glory, shows Your creativity, shows Your majesty. Father, in this moment, she's received news that she didn't want to hear, and I'm sure news that the doctor didn't want to deliver. But here we are faced with what medical science says. Father, we know that You are the God of medical science. We know that You are the God of our bodies. Father God, we know that You are the God of all things. Father, if it is in Your divine and holy will for Your daughter Susie to conceive a child, then we pray, Lord, that nothing would block or interfere with that from happening. Father, we ask that what the doctors see as impossibility, You see as possibility. What they say never to, You say, oh, wait and see. Yes, I give fiat. Father, if, however, by way of Your permissive will, this is the way it's to be, I ask that You bring Your daughter Susie consolation. I ask, Father, that this is not a moment that crushes faith, but is a moment where she digs more deeply into faith. Not a moment that destroys trust, but a moment where trust is exhibited, knowing that even if, in fact, it is the case that she will not experience biological maternity, that in no way does this have the last word on her maternity, that she is indeed spiritual mother, and that You will use her in dynamic ways to produce many children, children in faith and children in hope and children in love, children that come by way of a spiritual motherhood as opposed to a biological one. And oftentimes, Lord, this spiritual maternity comes in the form of a child entrusted to us to be mother to be father to. Oftentimes, that child is ours through adoption, or that child is ours through nieces and nephews. Sometimes that child is a child in a classroom. Sometimes that child is a grown woman whose soul is entrusted to us to bring to life and to bring to growth and development in You. Father, it's hard. It's hard for Your daughters to receive such news. And it's hard for Susie. So I'm asking that You would send our Blessed Lady to her. I'm asking You, Mother Mary, to wrap Your daughter in Your mantle and hold her close to Your Immaculate Heart, that You would, in Your spiritual maternity of Susie, bring out all of those gifts of spiritual maternity in her. All of the beautiful realities of the love that she has to give. And that You would hasten, Lord, to bring her occasion to be able to pour that love out. Whether it comes through a biological child or it does not come through a biological child. But that nonetheless she would experience this burst of love that comes forth from the heart for another whom she is called to nurture. And so it is, Father, that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Oh, Susie, honey, I just want you to know that I'm just standing with you at this moment in my heart. And if I had you near me, I would just fold you in my arms and just hold you tightly. But this is not the last word. God has the last word. And he's going to allow you to be mother. It's just going to be according to the way in which he wants, biological or in another way. But he's not going to let that deep desire of your heart remain fallow. It's going to be realized in one way or another. Just be open. Just be open to him. And I know that our listeners are going to be praying for you too. And I'm going to tuck you into my rosary. I haven't had the opportunity to pray it yet today, but you're going to be front and center in it, sweetheart.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome, honey. Keep us posted, okay? Keep us posted. If you want to email me, I'd be happy to email you back. You can email me right here at womenofgrace@ewtn.com, and I'll get that email. Jeff will get it to me, okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Just know that our Blessed Mother is holding you very close, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, darling.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. Bye-bye now.
I have a question for you,
sure.
Actually. Are there any verses in the Bible that I would be able to refer to? The conflict I'm in is that I've been taking such good care of myself lately, taking care of my health. I've lost a lot of weight. I look and feel better, doing a lot of things holistically.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my body, and my body does not feel 46. I feel like I'm 30. And I want to focus on that and what is possible. So I just want to be able to find places to put my attention towards.
Sure.
To keep this faith more actively and not be so passive about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Susie, I think that this is a good attitude of heart to have. You know, when we're facing situations that might not be resolvable, and you know, I'm using conditional words here because God can do all things, but when we're facing situations that might not be resolvable, it's a good idea for us to look and say to the Lord in those moments, what are you calling me to now? You know my story, I'm sure. You know, I lost a son. That was not resolvable. God was not going to bring Simon back. So what are you saying to me in this, Lord? You know, how do you want me to channel this love that I had for him? You know, what do you want me to do with this grief? And you're experiencing a type of grieving here because of the news that you've received. You're grieving the loss of fertility, potentially the loss of fertility. So what is the Lord saying to you in this? And I think that that's what you want to pray about now, is ask him, okay, Lord, I know you can do all things, and if you want me to conceive a child, I will. But if, in fact, that's not going to happen because of my body, then you still have given me this deep desire. How do you want me to express it? And Susie, I'm quite certain that he's going to show you. I'm quite certain of it. And I think that this is a healthy thing to do. It's a healing thing to do. And it shows you that fertility is not always dependent on biological fertility, that sometimes we just take that, you know, and we put fertility into that box. But it's much broader than that. It's much broader. You know, God wants to come and fecundate your spirit. You know, he wants to come and in an analogous way to what he did in Our Blessed Mother, he wants to bring new life, you know, to you And he wants you to conceive new life. It might not be through a biological life, but certainly life in him that you can then use and take out and begin to bring new life to others. So he's got something for you there, Susie. He does. So don't give up. Don't give up on him. Let him show you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. You know, our doors are always open to you at Women of Grace. Right now, you know, I think God simply wants to be there through that consoling reality of the Holy Spirit operative in our Blessed Lady. And that's why I'm suggesting that you just draw near to her. She'll weep with you. But in addition to that, she's going to mother you to your next moment. All right, this is not the last moment, baby. This is the beginning moment of something tremendous. God's going to lead you and guide you. And we're going to be praying for that, Susie. I'm going to be praying for you for that. You can count on that. So, Women of Grace at EWTN.com. All right? So, friends, you know, here we are at the moment that I never like, and that means that we're closing up this program today. Have a beautiful weekend in the Lord. Relax, stay safe. Allow the Holy Spirit to be with you. Ask God to show you what it is He wants you to do this weekend. Until we're together again, God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Okay.
All righty, tidy dooters.
Thank you, Mr. McCall.